I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercised.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga. This time,
it's your time. Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around. It's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP.
Radio.
High five.
Hello, my fellow DDP Yoga Warriors. What is happening? It is Wednesday night, 9 p.m., premiering another edition of DDP Radio right here at the DDP Radio Mega House, Megaplex at the Penthouse Suite right here in Parts Unknown. It's a beautiful evening here in Parts Unknown. My name is Mike Mullins. As always, you can find me doing my thing over at Mikey90%.com, so come over, say hi. And of course, I'm being joined. Her limo just pulled up. The rider is all set up, ready to go. Her Dom Perignon is chilled to exactly 32 degrees Fahrenheit. And the one and only author extraordinaire, her sophomore cookbook, just released this past week. She's back with her latest project, Sweet Comfort. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But, of course, the lovely Stacey Morris is on the show. Hello, Stacey.
Hi, guys, and great to be here. Thank you for your patience with my technical frailties.
I was just giving Stacey a little bit of a hard time because she was a little bit fashionably late due to some technical problems, and that's what we do here on DDP Radio is we love each other and we show it by giving each other a hard time. So, Stacey, thanks for figuring it all out and being patient and joining us today.
Glad to be back.
And, of course, as always, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to DDP Radio one of the three co-hosts in the show. He is the Newman to my Jerry Seinfeld. He is the incomparable Robert McLaren. Hello, Robert.
I would definitely be Seinfeld in that scenario.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Just remember, Newman you know, was the mailman, the whole postal thing, so I'd be nice to you, Robert.
Well, that makes one of us.
We got an awesome show for you tonight. We're going to get into this in just a few minutes. But we were talking the other day, and Stacey had brought up this topic. And we've been doing this show in some incarnation for, Robert, 5-6 years in some form. And we are talking, and there's very few places we have not gone as the show DDP Radio. There's very few fresh topics. And Stacey brought this to our attention. And we have several members of the DDP Yoga community who have had some kind of gastric or bypass surgery or, you know, any type of that kind of surgery. And we thought we'd divulge into that topic today. And there's some misconceptions about the procedure. There's some things that people don't know and don't understand. There are some insecurities with some people about it. And we're going to go into that topic today and discuss, you know, all sorts of that kind of discussion. And we have two very special guests for us tonight. Sherry Close is here, and Angie Van Zandt. You probably know them from the DDP Yoga community, but both of them have expertise in the subject at hand tonight. And I want to talk to Stacey real quick before we get going. What made you want to breach this topic, and how did it come about tonight?
Well, it came about a couple weeks ago. Sherry generously, graciously invited me down to her hometown in Maryland a couple weeks ago for a book signing. And she had mentioned, I had actually forgotten, and she wrote to me and was just asking me some heartfelt questions about surgery and should she or shouldn't she. And I'd actually forgotten that she had done it. And when I saw her in person, I was, you know, really, she was noticeably much thinner than some of her old photos. And So I asked her how it was going, and she's had great success with it. I also was aware of Angie. I've never met Angie, but I know she's been really out there in the community posting her journey and her weight loss success. And both women have been very open. And it's a personal choice. Some people don't want to discuss it, don't want to reveal it, but they've been open about having weight loss related surgery. And I know Angie has definitely gotten some flack for it from people commenting, from trolls. And that made me really think this would be a good show topic, because I think there's a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding. People tend to miscategorize it as taking the easy way out, and it's not. I know I've had very close friends have this surgery. It wasn't my personal choice. I decided not to do it, although I did think about it a lot at one time. But it's not the easy way out. It's a tool. It's not a magic wand. And I just don't think there should be any stigma or shame connected with this, because the bottom line is, as Sherry and Angie, I'm sure, will discuss, it's just a starting point, and you still have to do the work. You still have to live a conscious, dedicated, focused lifestyle. So that's what got me. I just feel like if Sherry and Angie are out there doing this, there have to be others. They might not want to make themselves known, but I just think this is something we're neither endorsing or promoting or saying it's wrong. We have no position on it, but we want people who have done it or are thinking of doing it to really be sure that we're not going to judge. This is part of some people's journey, and it's fine if you choose that. So that's how it all started.
Yep, and we're going to bring them on in just a minute, and we're going to breach into that topic. And it's going to be a really interesting topic. And there's some people that can relate to this, some people that don't. But it's going to be a great discussion, and we're going to dig into it a little deeper and really kind of get the mindset behind it and celebrate the successes that they've had with it, because both of them have had great successes. But before we get started, I want to run through the schedule real quick, because we got a new workshop on the books, and I'm going to introduce that first. You guys know the DDP Yoga workshops, always awesome, always fun, always inspiring. But there's one thing that's just a notch above the DDP Yoga workshops, and there's a reason why they call it the DDP Yoga Ultimate Workshop. And this DDP Yoga Ultimate Workshop is taking place during the Survivor Series weekend, the DDP Yoga Survivor Series Ultimate Workshop. It is right in Dallas's home, Mr. and Mrs. Page's home, at the DDP Yoga Performance Center, November 21st. It is the DDP Yoga Survivor Series Ultimate Workshop. I talked to Robert. They're selling like crazy. So if you want to get into this, you're going to want to get in quick, because this will sell out. It's in Smyrna, Georgia, November 21st. And the reason why they call it the Ultimate Workshop is because, workshops are amazing and they're a fantastic time. But this Ultimate Workshop is like an all-day event. It's filled with bonuses. You get a free T-shirt, a DDP Yoga T-shirt. And the day kicks off at 11 a.m. with a killer DDP Yoga workshop to get the juices flowing, the blood pumping, get yourself in a good place. And then after the workshop, you cool off, you shower down, you head back to the DDP Yoga Performance Center. And then 2 to 4, they are doing a meal preparation and question and answer session. They're going to make some food. They're going to serve some food. They're going to tell you how to make some healthy food. And that's going to be an amazing time. And that would be enough right there. But as an ultimate bonus, 4 p.m., they're all going to get together. They're going to throw up the big screen, and they're going to do a private screening of the critically acclaimed Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, the project that the DDP Yoga whole family here has been working on for the past 2 years. They're going to do a private screening of the movie and then a Q&A, and they're going to give all the lowdown about everything that happened behind the scenes, the production, the story, everything. And this is at the DDP Yoga Survivor Series Ultimate Workshop. I'm telling you right now, I'm guaranteeing it will sell out, so you want to get your tickets as quickly as possible. For more information, head over to ddpyogaworkshops.com. or the hub of all things DDP Yoga at ddpyoga.com. And we also talked about before, we have a Pure Yoga East Coast Double Shot Workshop that is January 8th, 2016 and January 9th, 2016. The NYC, New York City, DDP Yoga. Also, the DDP Yoga Inspiration Meets Perspiration 2 workshop is happening that weekend as well, January 10th, 2016 in Newport, Rhode Island. The DDP Yoga Retreat Extravaganza is happening right now. I know there's a lot of people going down there that are down there right now having a blast as we speak. And it's going to be a great time. So head over to ddpyogaworkshops.com for all things DDP Yoga, ddpyoga.com. And that's about it for the upcoming workshops. And right before we get into this topic, I just want Stacy to say a quick thing. And we're going to talk about this in upcoming weeks, but I wanted to get her thoughts on it because she wasn't here last week. Stacy, you have a new book. You're just churning them out. You're busy, huh?
Yeah, I've been busy, and so is Robert. He's helped me on the technical end. I had in mind, because I have all these recipes in my archives, of doing a series on taking off from clean comfort. So I think most everyone just adores desserts and sweets, and a lot of people really would love to have some options that don't include just, you know, ridiculous amounts of sugar and white flour. So I compiled the dessert cookbook, and it's 44 recipes. They're all, of course, gluten-free, cow dairy-free, and they're pretty low sugar, comparatively speaking, to some other, traditional desserts. So Robert once again helped me, you know, literally put the book together. And it's out in time for a big book fair upstate, which I'm thrilled that that's happening. And I'm taking it on the road to my signings. And so far, people have been really responding well. So I'm very excited about it. It's called Sweet Comfort. And I have a few others in my head, like bean comfort, all lentils, a bowl of comfort, all soup dishes and things in a bowl, and quick comfort, kind of borrowing from Rachel Ray, you know, quickie meals. So anyway, a whole series, and it's underway.
We're going to, you know, dig into that in the upcoming weeks. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we're going to dig into that in the upcoming weeks, especially as we get to the holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, New Year's, all that stuff, all the holidays. You're going to be looking for, you know, good, clean, healthy, you know, delicious desserts. And we will be talking about Stacy's book in great detail in the upcoming weeks as we move through the holiday season. But real quick, do you want to tell them where they can grab that online, Stacy?
You know, if you go to StacyMorrisCleanComfort.com, that will work just fine. It'll take you to the Amazon link. And
yeah,
if you what?
What's that?
Oh, everything went dead on me. I didn't hear anything. I was like, hello, hello, is anyone there?
No, we're here. And if you just go to my website, if you want a signed copy, email me through stacymorris.com, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. Sorry, everything went dead on me. I thought there was silence, and I couldn't hear anybody. We're going to bring on our guest now, and we're going to get into this topic, because it's going to be an interesting topic, and there's several places we can take this. And I know there's many people in the DDP Yoga community that will appreciate this topic, but first things first, she's located in Iowa. She's a very vocal and active member of the DDP Yoga community. You can always see her in the groups, online, on Facebook. She's been an inspiration to so many people, and she's going to talk about her experiences with her surgeries, her goals after her surgery, and we're going to talk about how, you know, surgery isn't the end-all be-all. I think a lot of people kind of assume that, you get the surgery and everything's good, but people don't realize the huge undertaking in lifestyle changes that you go through as well. And first things first, let's welcome Angie Van Zandt to the show.
Hi guys.
Hey there.
Hi, Angie.
We're excited to have you, and we have two guests on the show, and we're going to bring on our other guests too, and we're going to kind of do an open forum. We're just going to kind of, you know, talk and discuss and you know, we don't like to interview people. We like to have discussions with people. And our next guest, she's located up in Maryland, as Stacy mentioned. Stacy was down there doing her book tour recently, and these two connected, and her story was inspiring, so we thought we'd bring her onto the show as well and discuss her journey as well as Angie's. Welcome to the show, Sherry. Sherry, drawing a blank on the last name.
Close. Hi, everybody.
For some reason, I want to say Sherry Closed. It just came out like that. Sherry Closed. First of all, thank you guys both for being on the show. And Stacy was the one who briefed this topic and really wanted to get into this. And I'm all for that. It sounded like an amazing topic. I know, I don't know if I have people want to tell me to tell them personally, but I know several of my friends in the DDP Yoga community who I'm close with have had the same surgery. And I don't know if it's closed off subject or not, but I think this is going to be a lot of answers for a lot of people, and it's going to solve a lot of the misconceptions as well. So I'm going to give Stacy the opening and have her start off the conversation, because I know she's got some interesting places she wants to go with this.
Yeah, well, you know, first and foremost, as I said before, I'm doing this because there's enough negativity out there in social media and in the world in general that we shouldn't have to encounter it in the DDP yoga community. And I know, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of backlash with people who have had this type of surgery. And I guess I just would love for you both to talk about why you felt it was the right choice for you, and what you would say to someone, you know, who characterizes this as taking the easy way out.
I'll go ahead and start. This is Angie. For me, I felt like this was something that was necessary. I know that I was struggling with a food addiction. Kind of like Stacy, this is my third time having lost 100 pounds. Tried everything before, and I knew that there wasn't like a pill I could take. I tried hypnosis, I tried Weight Watchers, nothing was working for me. And I knew that DDP yoga was working for me and that I could lose the weight with it, but I knew that what would happen was after I lost the weight, those same addictions would still be haunting me, and I needed something that would actually be a physical stopper for me. So by having what I did was the gastric sleeve surgery, it would actually cause me issues with eating too much, and it could cause me issues by eating the wrong foods. And it would just give me that little extra edge that I needed to be able to control those addictions. And I think that, you know, for people that have a judgment against it, either they're afraid of it or maybe they're curious about it, or they feel like, you know, somebody that loses weight with this has an unfair advantage. But everybody's journey is their own, and it's kind of like when we're doing our DDP yoga and people say, you know, leave your ego at the door, your eyes on your own mat. Everybody's journey is the same. So as long as you're getting healthy and heading in that direction, it really doesn't matter, you know, whether you have something else you're doing with it. I kind of, for me, liken it to somebody that needs to have the antabuse if they're an alcoholic. It really, the food addiction for me was that strong.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. How about you, Sherry?
Well, it's kind of the same for me. I've been an emotional eater. I eat when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm mad, when I'm, you know, just any kind of reason to eat. And, you know, if there's a party, we have to wrap food around it. I had a lot of things that happened in my past that sort of precipitated me gaining weight and turning to food as a comfort. A lot like you, Stacy, and probably Angie as well. And this decision has actually been about 15 years in the making, because I had gone 6 times before to a couple different doctors and had started the process, and I backed out each time because I kept thinking, no, I can do this myself. And I did. Lost gain. I mean, there's so many people that have this story. And I decided that I had to do something as well. And also, like what Angie said, I needed that, they call it a tool. I needed that extra tool to help me stay on the straight and narrow, so to speak, because I just needed it. I needed it psychologically. I needed it physically. And I finally made the decision, and it's the best decision I've ever made for myself. And it's also probably the hardest thing I have ever done.
And why, can you elaborate on that? Why is it hard, or was it hard?
Well, when I had first found DDP yoga, it was about 2013. I had started researching, you know, cleaner eating and better eating and different types of, ways that people eat, different diets. And DDP yoga just kind of kicked it into high gear for me. And DDP yoga worked also for me. But, you know, like Angie said, I needed that extra push. And it's very difficult because the first 6 to 8 months, it's the honeymoon phase, and every single person will lose weight. There, you just can't help it. You will lose weight. But then it slows down, and then your body starts to become accustomed to, oh, we're eating this much now. Oh, this is going to be my weight now. And it's very difficult. You go to parties. I've not stopped living. I'll go to a party. I'll go anywhere, and, you know, if there's no food for me to eat, then I just will drink some water or, you know, try and figure something else out. But it's hard to still remain social, and I'm a social animal. It's very difficult to remain social and watch everybody eating the birthday cake mm-hmm. and eating the fried chicken and the pizza, and know that, you know what, I've made a choice and I've made a decision that I'm not going to have that. And there are people that do. There are people that do. For the first mm-hmm. year or two, they will say, oh, everything in moderation. And typically, those people gain a lot of their weight back, and I'm just determined not to do it.
Go ahead, Sais.
Well, you can force yourself to reintroduce some of those foods that normally your body would not be so receptive to after the surgery. So it is, you do have to have a proper mindset and a focus, because it's no magic bullet.
Not at all.
And I think some people kind of liken it to the perception of the surgery in some people. You know, Angie, you had mentioned that there was some negativity about you having the surgery, which, first of all, if someone in the DDP yoga community, in our community here, is negatively reacting to that kind of surgery, obviously they don't understand this community, because that's not what we're about at all. Mm-hmm. We all have different paths to where we've gotten here. My path is completely different than Stacy's, and completely different than Robert's and Angie's and Sherry's. And we all have our unique way that we got to where we want to be, or we're going to be where we want to be. So first of all, no negativity like that is tolerated. And obviously you don't get what this program is about if you're one of those people that are giving her a hard time. But some people on the outside looking in almost look as if it is a magic, like, device. Like, oh, she just got her stomach done, and, you know, now she doesn't have to worry about dieting anymore or eating healthy. But it's completely opposite. It's like you said, it's a tool, but it's something that takes a lot of dedication and work. Those addictions you had before you got that surgery are still mentally prevalent in your head, and it's mm-hmm. just another way of battling your demons that everyone else in this community is battling too, and you're getting to it throughout a different path.
Right. And I haven't made any secrets about the fact that when I started initially, Dallas reached out and offered to start mentoring me, and I committed to the program phase three September 11th, 2014. And between September 11th and December 9th, I ended up losing a little over 40 pounds going phase three and working on that. And there were people that were very, very against it and spoke out very openly in the group about it. And I was just determined to go through with it. And then after I had the surgery, came back, and I went immediately back to my phase three eating, went back to working out an hour every day. And one of the things that Dallas had repeatedly told me was I would need to do the mental work going into this. And if he'd not really coached me on that and reminded me of it, I don't know that I would have gotten through it, because I got extremely sick afterwards. And I am very, very diligent about my diet. There's a lot of things that we're not supposed to do and we're not supposed to eat. And I've not tested it because I don't want to find out. But at the same I see a lot of my friends that have had the surgery that are out doing all the things that we're not supposed to do, and I don't see them near as successful, and I don't see them as healthy. They seem to be really struggling, and they're struggling with the mental aspect of it way more than I am. And mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, there's a reason why we have these guidelines and these recommendations, and it's a 24/7 issue with me where I am cognizant and I have to be aware of what my stomach is capable of and the rules on it every single minute.
And yeah, I think the perception that most people have is that this is something that's easy and it's a shortcut. That's what angers them.
Yeah,
it's so not. It is so not. And Angie and I have had different surgeries. With my surgery, it's a little bit more restrictive than Angie's is. As far as, you know, if, I mean, I'm sure that there's so much that Angie can't eat now too. Because of the way that it will physically make her feel. Mm-hmm. But if I were, I have not had any sugar at all. Or rice, or pasta, or bread, or, you know, anything like that. And I'm basically phase three as well, with a little tweaking of my own.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to, the theory is if I were to even eat anything with sugar in it, I will get really, really, really sick. I don't even want to know. And, you know, like Angie said, I don't even want to know if I can tolerate it, because sometimes I'll be sitting here and I'll feel, I don't know what a crack addict feels like, but sometimes I get that feeling where I gotta eat, I gotta keep eating. And it's a real kind of weird, crazy feeling. But if I do want something, I'll go grab something healthy and I'll, you know, and I'll like chow down on that if I have to.
Yeah, well, that brings up the whole emotional aspect of eating. And, you know, you have the physical tool that will prevent you from overeating. But what do you do when your mind or your heart or whatever says, this isn't enough, I want to keep eating?
The hedonic hunger really never goes away. And when you realize that you're still only able to eat little tiny bits of food and everybody else around you is still eating, that is a big mind trick on you, because you're like, I'm physically not, you shouldn't be able to live on such a small amount of food. I'm still averaging only about 1,000 calories a day.
Right.
And yet I'm like, I know people are living – there are people doing that in a coffee, you know, their first thing out the door. And I'm living off of just that amount of calories. So you think that you should be. The only thing you can do is keep yourself busy. And, you know, you've got to keep telling yourself that, no, this is really all I'm supposed to have. I'm doing fine. And just continue to you know, only eat what you're supposed to. You've got to keep listening to your stomach and making sure that you're checking all the signs. We don't even really get the true, like, feeling full signals anymore. If I've gotten to where I'm full, I'll get to where I sneeze or my eyes or my nose will run. I don't get the feeling of fullness now. Or I'll get the hiccups.
Yeah. Right. I get the hiccups as well. It's a little odd. And it's really crazy, and that you really have to start to relearn your body again. And so many people who are overweight have turned off their listening to their own bodies,
mm-hmm.
because food is everywhere, food is in abundance, and there's always a reason somewhere to eat food. And you know, with this surgery, it's kind of weird because we're even more attuned to food. All the time, because we have to time out when we can drink. We have to time out when we can eat. We can't eat and drink at the same time. And it's a constant thing, but when you have the right mindset, the self-talk really is the best. And also speaking with other people who have the same mindset. Not necessarily the ones that say, oh, go ahead and try that slice of cake, or go ahead and try that, Oreo cookie or whatever, because you don't, that's not the mindset that you really need to be hearing.
Obviously, so sorry.
Nope, go ahead.
Obviously, this isn't, you know, the first line of defense. There are things you can do and try to tackle to get your weight under control. You don't want to wake up one day and realize, oh, I'm 20 pounds overweight. I got to go have this surgery done, because there are health risks with any surgery that go along with that. But sometimes something like this, and I'm not saying this for either of you because I didn't know you before then, but sometimes this is a last option for people. Sometimes people's lives depend on them getting out of that morbidly obese category. But there is significant changes that happen outside of the surgery. There's some serious lifestyle changes that need to happen, because people think with the surgery, I'm good, I'm going to lose weight, I'm good. But I've known several people that in my personal life that have had the surgery and didn't make those same lifestyle changes, and they ended up right in the same spot as they were.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It is something where you go through psychological evaluations, you have monitoring for months beforehand, and you do have to be over a certain BMI before they will consider it. It is something where, if you are somebody that's determined to do it, even if you're probably not somebody that should be having the surgery, a lot of people can get through it and kind of buffalo their way through it. There are a lot of, I've had several friends that have had the surgery now that probably shouldn't have had it and definitely struggling, showing like what they're eating every day and they're out drinking every day. Because one of the things that I'm really not supposed to do now is alcohol. And it is very difficult to go and be in a social function and say, I can't drink. I can't process the alcohol. I am not somebody that can, I can't do the extra calories. But once we have the surgery, you no longer make the enzyme to even process the alcohol. And they have several statistics that say that the people that have this surgery, if they drink in the first year, they have about an 85% risk of becoming an alcoholic, because then they're trading one addiction for another.
Can I speak on that real quick?
Yeah.
I know five other people who have had actual gastric bypass. Four of them are alcoholics. Three of them are alcoholics. One of them, her boyfriend saw where she was headed and he stopped her. And the other one died at the age of 49 years old because of the alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. It's so sad to watch.
Well, and that speaks to it. Being thin or getting the weight off is not going to solve all your problems. If you have underlying, issues, or if you have, these emotional holes in your heart, being thinner is not going to solve that. It does help with a lot of things, but you do have to get your mindset very clear, and really the way I've done it, and I'm sure this is true for everyone who is maintaining a weight loss, no matter how they got there, is I've got to manage my emotions on a daily basis.
Oh yeah.
And some days I'm really, really quite good at it, and other days I'm not so good. But overall, I've managed it to my favor. But dropping the weight is great, but it doesn't solve all your problems by any means.
Right. Just real quick, I'm sorry. A problem that the doctors and the weight loss clinics, they will hold your hand every step of the way up to surgery, and you're going to see your nutritionist, and you've got all your doctor's visits and your tests, and it's all like a real, it's an exciting process. It's a nail biting process. It's a long waiting process. You get the surgery, you're done in a month, and then all of a sudden, where did everything go? And they say, okay, see ya, go to your support group once a month. And that's where a lot of people get dropped through the cracks, is that there really isn't any aftercare, so to speak, for even a couple years to help people keep on the path. So that's frustrating for a lot of people as well.
Yeah, I think support is key. And I don't, this will be, you know, up to you too, but it would be great if there was some sort of support group within the DDP yoga community, whether you make it a secret group, you know, and it's very private. Mm-hmm. But I think ongoing support is really crucial.
It is.
I personally have had several people in the community that are not open with the community and have never disclosed it to anybody in the community that have reached out to me and asked me questions, because what I've had happen with the amount of weight that I've lost as quick as I have is kind of unusual, especially for this kind of surgery. It's not probably the normal DDP yoga group, although they're...
Oh, you're,
I've kind of lost Angie.
You're cutting out a little, Angie.
Uh-oh.
Are you there?
Uh-oh.
Get back on.
Yes.
Yeah,
we'll bring her back.
Yeah, we'll try to connect her again.
Okay.
And I, one thing that fascinated me that you had mentioned, Sherry, is the link, the alcoholism that kind of comes with the territory with some people. Which kind of speaks, we've spoken many times about the addiction aspect of food and overweight and food addiction, but those addictive personalities, people who struggle with substance abuse or alcoholism or what may have you, when they quit a substance, they can't, you know, if you quit like narcotics, you can't move to alcoholism because, you know, a lot of times addictions replace itself. And it's fascinating to hear that so many people who have gone through the surgery struggle with other addictions afterwards, which really goes to show that the mental game that you need to, you know, step up is really important when you're having a surgery or making any changes, because that psychological grasp that food has on you, it's such an addiction that so many people with addiction problems, you know, replace their addictions and move on to other and sometimes worse addictions than they originally had been dealing with.
Well, Stacey, I don't know if you remember, but when you talked about the Oprah show, Carney Wilson also, well, no, this might have been a different show, but Oprah had people on. It might have been a different show where they did have the gastric bypass or the gastric sleeve, and they talked about there's alcohol addiction, there's sex addiction, there's shopping addiction, there's gambling addiction, and it's because they just can't really get a handle on why they even got big in the first place. And that's what I mean about people falling through the cracks. They don't realize that they're going to another addiction, another comfort, another something to fill the hole, instead of trying to figure out why this happened in the first place.
Yeah, that is key. That's key for anyone. And that's why I regained 100 pounds twice when I was younger, because I was really under the impression that losing the weight would just make my life magical and problem free. And I still had all the, you know, the internal stuff. I had the low self-esteem. I had unresolved anger, you know, from my childhood. And I gained it back very quickly. And that's why I really... gave myself like a good 2 decades to work on myself. Not that everybody needs that long, but I really worked on the internal part because I thought, oh, I can't diet. I'm done with that. So at least I'll have good self-esteem. and that's important. But you bring up a really good point, Sherry, and that is, see, one thing that I think, especially women, you know, women are so, you know, from the first age that we're given a Barbie doll, we want to look good. We're told we need to look good. And then when we do, it's like, holy shit, it's overwhelming. What do you do with the male attention? You know, and I think a lot of people can, it can very easily happen where you can switch into a sex addiction or just being, you know, overly promiscuous, which coming from a base of low self-esteem can be a very dangerous place to be, you know, not that it has to spiral in that direction, but that's one of the realities that, I mean, I'm hoping that some of the doctors counseled you on stuff like this, but I had to find out the hard way in my 20s, like, wow, you know, it's not all a bed of roses. I still have to deal with my own ability or inability to set boundaries mm-hmm. and deal with whatever, whether it might be jealousy from other people who are envious of my, you know, quote, success, or just obnoxious men who have really, really poor boundary issues. So there's a lot that goes to weight loss that is not talked about on Weight Watcher commercials or Jenny Craig.
No, not at all.
And there's also a lot of positive stuff too. And I want to talk about that. Like, I'm sure you are both pretty thrilled with your new sizes and having more energy and that sort of thing.
Very much. Yes.
One of the things that I think that I've had just 2 or 3 months now off of that honeymoon period. I'm just now getting to where like my hair is growing back. So when you have this kind of surgery, you go through like a malnutrition phase because you really lost so much nutrition during because of how little you're eating. So your hair falls out, and it falls out pretty dramatically in some cases. And for me, it was very noticeable. And so I'm finally getting to where my hair is growing back in, and I'm finally leveling off to the weight that I was kind of going for as my goal. So it's starting to get to where I'm getting excited about it.
And Sherry, I haven't seen you. I don't know what you look like. I've never seen a picture of you. But Angie, I see you post regularly on Facebook, and every time I see you, you look smaller and smaller and healthier. mm-hmm. You look fantastic. And I noticed
a lot
of people, you know, who have these surgeries or go through rapid weight loss. Sometimes, you know, I don't know if it's seeing them lose the weight so quickly, but a lot of times their body doesn't look like it should fit their frame. Like you look kind of like off when you lose the weight, but you look like you've been that size your whole life. I mean, you can't tell that you were never like overweight or anything like that. I have a buddy of mine who I lost weight with years ago, lost 200 pounds, and he looked almost like frail and sick because mm-hmm. I was so not used to seeing him like that. But like when I look at you, I wouldn't have guessed that you were overweight before. You just look so natural in your body size.
And that's a huge compliment, and I really appreciate it. I think that part of it is that I have really worked on the muscle tone so that I did have a really good foundation as I was losing the weight. It's been very important for me. I love popping the biceps and giving a good flex because it surprises people to think that I still have that kind of strength. And it surprised people when they really see how small I am when they finally meet me in person. I'm only 5'2", which isn't real tall. And so to have some muscle tone and to really be able to carry it, I think helps. And you know, for whatever reason, I've been able to kind of avoid some of the excess skin, and you know, a lot of the pitfalls that you have with it. Definitely do still have the excess skin issues. I just think that I'm able to carry it and dress in a way where it's not as noticeable.
Now, you guys have, both of you have, you know, there's a lot of restrictions to what you can eat and what you can't eat. And it sounds like that may be more difficult than the average, I don't like to use the word diet, but the average diet for someone who's trying to lose weight or get in shape or whatever, the DDP yoga diet, with all the things that you have to be aware of and that you don't feel full anymore, if you had to do it again, would you still have done the surgery?
Yes.
Oh, yes. And I wished I would have done it sooner.
Yeah, don't think about it, Sherry.
Right. Absolutely. 100%. Now, I'm a little different than Angie in that I'm 58 years old, and I don't hide that from anybody. And I just had the surgery last year. And I'm an older person who didn't take care of herself growing up, you know, getting through my 30s and into my 40s. So I'm dealing with a lot of other issues. So I don't have the muscle definition that I would like. However, there are other women my age who do. And, you know, I guess sometimes genetics plays into it. But, because like I said, I've gone through a few things this year and I have to have a surgery in November. It's nothing to do with the bypass. It's, I've ripped my rotator cuff. So, Yeah, no fun. I had knee surgeries, and a lot of that is because I didn't take care of myself my entire life. And even though I'm losing the weight, these things have already been damaged, but I'm getting them fixed. And I mean, I can still walk, I can still talk, I'm still good to go and everything. And
all your issues would have been compounded had the weight, remained
and
on.
Recovery will be so much easier without having to work with the extra weight.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it has been absolutely 100%.
Yeah, and Angie, you brought up a great point about the workouts helping muscle tone, and that was definitely true for me when I was losing weight. I don't have a lot of loose skin, but the workouts help with that. And overall, I mean, if you live the so-called DDP yoga lifestyle and you do the workouts to the best of your ability, mm-hmm. and eat as clean as you can, this type of procedure and choice can really be a part of the DDP yoga lifestyle. And Sherry, you got me thinking about this show. You had a great story because you thought you were the only one in the community who had done this.
Oh no.
And you kind of wrote a Dear John note to DDP Yoga.
Yes,
remember?
I did.
And so tell us about that, and tell us what Dallas did when he read it.
Well, I was listening to the radio show one Wednesday night, and it was all about, perseverance and hanging in and just do the workouts. And this was after I'd had the surgery, and I thought to myself, I'm a fraud. I don't belong here anymore.
No.
What am I doing? Yeah. So I actually got on the Team DDP Yoga website, and I wrote to Dallas, and I said, I think that this program is awesome. I will continue with this program. I have major back issues, and it has tremendously helped with my back. But I just kind of feel like I need to back out, and because I feel like a fraud. I just don't feel like I belong. So, I wrote him a letter. I thanked him. It's a wonderful program. I'm inspired. I'm still telling everybody about it. And the end. So the next day, I got an email from DDP, and he says, "What's your number, buddy?" And I said, "Okay, I'll give him my phone number, but this guy is never going to call me. He's too busy." So that evening, I was at dinner eating my soup with a friend, and I got a call from a restricted number, and I had told her about it, and I said, "This is him. I bet this is him." And this was 3 days before he went into the hospital with his throat thing.
Oh.
And and he said, "You know who this is?" And I said, "Yes, I do. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're calling me." And he says, "Who else would be calling you and not be able to talk like this?" So we had a wonderful conversation for 10 minutes, and he told me that this is for me. There are lots of other people who have had the surgery, who have been a success, that have also used DDP yoga, and I absolutely do belong, and I'm a part of it, and I'm part of the family. And I mean, the whole conversation was just, I mean, it was so uplifting and so, I really do belong, yay! And it was just awesome. And I think Brenda was there with him too, because he had said something, and she had, said something in the background, and he is the one that really kind of kept me, on the Facebook page and connecting with other DDPers. And I'm just, it has kept me inspired. That one conversation so many months ago has really just kept me inspired and just in love with the whole DDP group, everybody.
That's awesome. And that's so Dallas too. That's so his style. And that's a message to anybody, whether you're kicking ass and you're at your goal weight, whether you've had the surgery and you're in the process, whether you're doing well in the process, whether you're doing horrible, whether you're worse off than you were before, whether if things have gone downhill and you've just let everything go, you're still welcome here, because we're all trying to get where we want to be, and none of us are really going to ever be where we want to be, whether you've fallen off the wagon so bad that you're worse off than ever, or whether you're Stacy at your goal weight, or whether you're me in the process of getting there. we're all welcome, and because we all have the right mindset of we want to change our lives for the better, we want to change our health for the better. Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Angie and Sherry. That was an amazing show, very inspiring. Stacey, thank you for thinking of this topic and getting into it. I think it's going to give a lot of people some amazing insight into the process, as well as some kind of comfort and camaraderie to the people who have undergone this surgery that feel a little bit alienated in the community.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we touched on it. I'm sure we'll be welcoming them back again. But it was great to get some truth out there and some compassion on an issue that I think is very misunderstood. So this was great. Thank you both so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because I know Angie has, because Angie told me personally, but I know that she encountered a whole lot of negativity about this topic, and it really, that's not something that we even need to have in DDP yoga, is negativity about anything, because we need to understand that everyone has their own path.
Especially about changing your life like that. It may not be ideal for you, but we just walked an hour in both Angie's and Sherry's shoes, and like we said before, it doesn't matter how we get to our goals, as long as we get there, as long as we're legally getting there and putting in the work. And I think there was a lot of misconceptions about that process and how people get to that point. And I think we cleared some of those up tonight. So I think that was a good thing we did, and hopefully our listeners and people in the DDP Yoga community will understand that and respect their hard work that went into it, because it isn't a quick fix. It isn't an easy decision nor an easy process.
Right, and it's really nobody's place to judge somebody else. If that's right for their life and their body, that's their decision. They don't need to run it by anybody for approval except themselves.
Exactly.
And if you're in the DDP Yoga community, that's not how we do things anyway. So you should know better. We submit positivity. We omit the bullshit, the negativity, and we're a positive community. We support each other. We cheer each other on, and we lift each other up. So if you're ever facing any community negativity or people who are being like that, be sure to bring it to people's attention, because we don't do that here. That's not how things work in the DDP Yoga community. And the principles that this company was founded on are the antithesis of everything that should be negative in this community.
Absolutely. It's all about encouragement, support, and moving forward.
Absolutely. And on that note, thank you very much, Stacey, for taking the time to hang with us this Wednesday evening. And Robert, thank you as well.
Oh, anytime.
Thank you, Mike. Great to be back.
Yes, and in the upcoming weeks, we're going to talk about your book. But real quick, tell them one more time where you can grab Sweet Comfort, your brand new project that you've been working on with Robert for the past few months.
It's just Stacey Morris, cleancomfort.com, and that'll take you to the links for all my books, Kindle and hard copy. And next week we're going to have that wonderful nutritionist Nancy Guberti on just in time for Halloween to talk about sugar. It's really not so harmless, even though we've grown up, living on it. But there are other ways you can enjoy Halloween. So we'll be talking all about that next week.
All right. Well, thank you, Stacey. Thank you, Robert, for Stacey Morris, for Robert McLaren, and, of course, our guests, Sherry and Angie. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week, Wednesday night, 9 p.m., right here at DDP Radio at ddpradio.com with our seasonal guest, nutritionist Nancy Guberti, giving us the lowdown on how you can have a healthy, happy Halloween. Take care, you guys. Until next week, remember, never, ever, ever, ever give up. See ya.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Into the diamond cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a presentation of DDP Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.